I never said I was his. That's the part everyone conveniently fucking forgets.
I didn't promise exclusivity. I didn't swear loyalty. I didn't even imply commitment out loud. I just let him feel it. Let him sit in that warm, stupid belief that he'd earned something special. Men do that shit to themselves when you look at them like they're the only one in the room, when you lower your voice and pause just a second too long before pulling away.
He thought every late-night call meant priority. Thought every dirty joke meant intimacy. Thought every time my knee brushed his, every almost touch, every not now, meant soon. He built a whole fucking fantasy off crumbs I never claimed were bread. And, God, he ate it up.
I watched him change in real time. Posture straighter, voice sharper, jealousy simmering under that fake chill he tried to wear like armor. I fed it carefully. Compliment, then cut. Desire, then distance. Make him feel chosen, then remind him he could be replaced. I'd say I hated jealousy, then casually mention someone else, just to watch his jaw tighten like he was biting glass.
I didn't have to touch him to own him.
I just had to let him believe he was the only one who wanted to. It started with attention. That's always the hook. People like to pretend manipulation is complicated, like it requires lies stacked on lies. Bullshit. Attention does most of the work if you aim it right. He wasn't starving. That's the funny part. He had a life, a job, friends, women who laughed at his jokes. But he wasn't seen. Not the way I saw him. Not the way I mirrored his insecurity back at him and called it depth. I listened hard. I remembered details. I asked questions that made him feel interesting instead of exposed.
You're different, I told him once, leaning in just enough to make it intimate, but not enough to make it real. Most guys don't notice things the way you do.
That line? Fucking poison. Pure, sweet poison. I followed it with distance. Missed calls, short replies, a coolness that made him wonder what he'd done wrong, even though he hadn't done a goddamn thing. Then I'd come back warm again, laughing, touching his arm like nothing happened. Relief flooded his face every time. Relief is addictive.
I praised him in private and teased him in public. Made him feel chosen when we were alone, replaceable when we weren't.
I'd tell him he made me feel safe, then remind him I didn't need anyone. I framed it as independence. And the jealousy, I engineered that shit like a science. I never bragged, never compared, I just mentioned. Names dropped casually, stories half told. A smile at my phone, I didn't explain. He'd stiffen, try to act cool, try not to ask. That restraint burned him alive.
You don't get jealous, do you?
I asked once, already knowing the answer.
No, he said, lying through his teeth.
Good, I said. That's attractive.
That word, attractive, fucked him up worse than any insult could have. He wanted to live up to it. Wanted to be the guy who didn't flinch, didn't beg, didn't ask for clarity.
So he swallowed his questions and called it trust. Called it maturity. Meanwhile, he started doing things without being asked. Favors. Risks. Little acts of loyalty he never labeled as such, because labeling would have meant admitting how deep he was already in. He covered for me. Took my side. Smoothed over situations that could have exposed me, because he thought that's what people do when they're close.
I let him believe he was choosing it.
That's the trick. You don't push. You let them walk.
Then you move the ground underneath their feet and watch them adjust, instead of stopping. Watching him justify himself was better than any confession. He'd say it's nothing about shit that was clearly something. He'd laugh off disrespect and call it banter. He bent himself smaller just to stay near me, and I let him. Because emotional injury doesn't scream. It whispers, and people lean in to hear it. Sexual power doesn't start with fucking. Anyone who thinks that has never really paid attention. It starts with implication, with the suggestion that something could happen if the conditions are just right, if he behaves, if he waits, if he proves himself worthy without ever being told what worthy actually looks like.
I flirted like a weapon.
Slow, specific. I let my voice drop when I talked to him, let my jokes land just a little too close to dirty, let silences stretch until he filled them with his imagination. I never crossed the line, but I danced so close to it he could feel the heat.
I'm not that kind of girl, I said once,
smiling like it was a joke.
He laughed, but his eyes stayed hungry.
I teased him about his self-control. Praised it. That was important. I made restraint feel like intimacy. Made not touching me feel like proof he was special. Other men were impulsive. Other men were sloppy. He was different. He was disciplined.
And discipline feels a lot like devotion when you dress it up right. When he got frustrated, I framed it as passion. When he got crude, I pretended to be offended just long enough to make him apologize. Then I rewarded the apology with warmth.
That cycle, fuck, worked beautifully. Shame followed by relief. Desire followed by denial. He learned fast which version of himself I preferred.
I never had to humiliate him directly. I let him do it to himself.
He'd make comments, test boundaries, then pull back and apologize like he'd crossed some sacred line. I'd say things like, I like that you want me, but I don't want to be that girl to you. That sentence alone kept him in line for weeks. He didn't want to reduce me. He didn't want to lose me, so he swallowed his frustration and called it respect.
Meanwhile, I'd casually remind him I was desired. Not in a bragging way. Just enough to keep the threat alive.
Sexual exclusivity works best when it's implied, but never confirmed. When he believes he's the only one close enough to matter. Even if he's not the only one circling,
I let him imagine what he was earning. I let him fantasize about a finish line I never planned to cross.
He invested in a future I never agreed to. That's not deception, that's projection. His projection.
And the best part? He thought I was the one being careful.
He mistook my restraint for vulnerability. Thought my boundaries meant I was protecting something fragile.
He didn't realize the boundary was the leverage. Every time he respected it, he reinforced my control. Every time he struggled against it, he blamed himself.
I didn't need his body. I needed his fixation.
By the time he realized how aroused and ashamed and desperate he felt around me, it was already too late to pretend he wasn't in deep. Desire makes people stupid. Shame makes them obedient. I gave him both and let him call it connection.
And yeah, he wanted me.
But what he really wanted was the version of himself he thought he was becoming because of me. That's the part that owned him.
Everything collapses eventually.
Not because the manipulator slips, but because the web gets too big to stay quiet.
It started with messages, screenshots, stories overlapping where they shouldn't. Little inconsistencies piling up until they stopped being coincidences and started looking like patterns.
He came to me panicked, jealous in a way that finally spilled over into anger. That's always the breaking point, when the fantasy can't absorb reality anymore.
He thought I'd protect him.
That's what really destroyed him.
He'd covered for me before, lied for me, took risks because he believed we were aligned.
So when his jealousy, his crude texts, his desperate late-night messages got dragged into the light, he assumed I'd step in, smooth it over, frame it, make it disappear. I didn't. I stayed calm, detached, almost bored. I let his behavior speak for itself, while I acted reasonable, composed, mildly disappointed. I watched people reframe him in real time, from intense to unstable, from passionate to inappropriate. I didn't have to say a word. When he confronted me, voice shaking, eyes wild, I didn't deny anything. I just asked, "What did I ever promise you?" He had no answer. Just anger. Humiliation. That ugly realization creeping in that he built his own cage and called it closeness. That night, his image shattered publicly. Not because he was evil, but because he was exposed. Desire without dignity doesn't survive daylight. People don't forgive obsession when it stops being flattering. His texts read differently when stripped of context. His jealousy looked ugly without the fantasy framing it.
I watched him unravel. And yeah, I felt something. Not guilt. Not pleasure either. Something colder. Final.
When the focus finally turned to me, it was quieter but sharper. People connected dots. Not all of them, but enough. They wanted remorse. Wanted me to say I'd let him on. That I'd been careless, that I hadn't realized the effect I was having.
I didn't argue.
I didn't apologize.
I told the truth in the most useless way possible. I never lied. I never promised exclusivity. I never said he was the only one. I just didn't correct him when he decided he was.
That didn't save me.
It just defined me.
Now my name comes with warnings. Smiles turn cautious. People look at me like I'm sharp, like I leave marks even when I don't touch. Maybe they're right. Maybe that's the damage, being seen clearly and still knowing you'd do it again if the conditions were right.
Because he wasn't ruined because I touched him.
He was ruined because I knew exactly how not to.
And now I get to sit with that knowledge.
No redemption arc, no clean exit, just the quiet understanding that I didn't break him by accident.
I broke him by design.